At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Sowing the seeds of cannabis and sounding the praise of our favorite plant, it's time to Hemp Present. Our radio resident hemposapien Vivian McPeak will present a weekly platform for guests and listeners to Hemp Present about hemp and cannabis from the legal, activist, and reformist route. Let's round up and roll it up for our headmaster of hemp, Vivian McPeak.
Welcome to the Hemp Present Resistance, seeking to defeat the alternative facts of prohibition one interview at a time and advocating for the plant, the whole plant, and nothing but the plant. Join me for a weekly Reefer Radio Rebellion as I speak with some of the principal risk takers, movers and shakers, and history makers of the cannabis industry, culture, and reform movement. I am your host, Vivian McPeak. I am the executive director of the world's largest annual cannabis policy reform event, the Seattle Hemp Fest, entering its 29th year speaking flower to power and found at hempfest.org. I'm also the author of the book Protestival, a 20-year retrospective of Seattle Hemp Fest from AHA Publishing, that's also found at hempfest.org. If you have feedback or would like to suggest a guest or topic for this show, email me at hemppresent@gmail.com. Today's guest on Hemp Present is Greg Flaval, who will join me momentarily. The cement industry remains one of the world's primary producers of carbon dioxide, a potent greenhouse gas. Also, the dust released by the demolition of concrete structures and by natural disasters can often be a source of harmful air pollution. Concrete can contain substances that cause health concerns due to toxicity and even naturally occurring radioactivity. And wet concrete is very alkaline and can be caustic and should always be handled with proper protective equipment. The carbon footprint of human development has been increasing exponentially at a rate that is wreaking havoc on our natural world. Scientific models can only estimate the degree to which humanity and other species are facing existential threat. One of our best chances to avert catastrophe lies in the fundamental transition to industrial hemp and hemp-based products, which leads me to my guest today. Greg Flaval co-founded Hemp Technologies in Asheville, North Carolina, to build healthy, breathable, energy-saving homes with hemp line and other non-volatile organic compound materials. After a long career in the construction industry, Greg is actively involved in efforts to reduce, recycle, and reuse construction-type materials combined with renewable carbohydrate-based technologies to help reduce our carbon footprint and give back to the planet. Greg has a deep knowledge of renewable building materials from around the globe, sourcing and distribution and supply chain management. He's a passionate speaker, teacher on universal design and future-proofing for aging-in-place passive income homes, also known as green granny flats, and the boomerang income plan to help ease the affordable housing crisis, which is gripping our world right now. Greg has joined me today to educate us about ways that hemp and other natural resources can contribute to environmentally sustainable building practices, and also talk about some special projects he's working on. Welcome, Greg, to Cannabis Radio.
Thank you, my man. Nice to be here.
You bet. Now, you've been in the construction industry for some time. How and when were you introduced to hemp as an alternative to conventional building materials? When did you get hip to all of this?
Well, this was way back early 2000s, and building and doing renovations in Southern California, Los Angeles to be exact, over on the west side. We would often have Hispanic people drive up next to my dumpsters on the side of the road, dumpster diving we call it, and picking out the old materials, taking the nails out and trimming off and squaring up the used drywall and so forth, loading it nice and neatly in the back of their beat up old Ford F-150s or whatever, and then driving it down to Mexico and building something with it. And I'm like, there's got to be a better way. And because we calmed down, and you mentioned earlier that around 50% of land waste is construction waste. So I started looking into reducing, reusing, recycling, and even composting, like my grandparents used to do, you know, back in the Depression days, and was looking for different, you know, different materials that would be renewable, reusable, recyclable, etc. And some good friends of mine, I was doing a bathroom remodel for in West Hollywood, passed over to me this, you know, this thick thesis that she was writing for law school on hemp, the miracle plant of the future. And I'm like, what the heck is this? A couple of glasses of wine later, and I started reading through this thing, and like, oh my goodness, this might be something new and exciting that we could bring to the masses for, you know, for longevity and health reasons with building with homes. So I jumped on an airplane and went to England, where they've been building with this for the last 15 years, and got involved in a couple of projects and learned, you know, the source and the secrets and the little, you know, little bits that make it work. And then we launched Hemp Technologies back in Asheville, North Carolina, back in 2008. And we started our first project up on the side of a mountain called Town Mountain, 2009. And it just all started from there. And we've been pushing the wheelbarrow ever since, so to speak.
And the ironic thing is, it's new and exciting for us, but it's actually very old and exciting, because hemp was used throughout millennia, right?
Indeed, yes. I mean, the Great Wall of China has some hemp in it. The you know, the Pharaoh's pyramids have some hemp in it. I've got pictures and actually touched some old Roman viaducts in Eastern Europe that have got hemp in them. Hemp and lime has been used for millennia. And other pozzolans as well. So it's an old material, having a renaissance revolution, if you like, back into the 21st century. And it's a renewable. I mean, we don't. If you look at growing trees to build a house, you know, you're 10 to 20 years out before you can harvest them. Whereas with the industrial hemp or agricultural hemp, it's you know, it's renewable every year. I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful plant.
Greg, can you briefly describe universal design and future-proofing for aging-in-place passive income homes? What does that mean?
Okay, so on our website, we have a section called universal design, and this is where we've compiled a bunch of different items for aging-in-place and future-proofing and so forth for universal design. Universal design means that we want to live in our house as long as we possibly can, and you know, us baby boomers, and I'm one of them, for the next 17 years, there's 10,000 of us turning 65 every day in America. And it's been proven, and I mean, there are studies on this, in fact, out there at the web, that 90% of us want to stay in our home as long as we possibly can. And universal design simply means when you're retrofitting, renovating, or building your new home, you want to design it so that you can last as long as you possibly can inside your home. So universal design would be, for example, having a 36-inch doorway instead of a normal 32-inch doorway, so that if ever you're in a wheelchair, you can get down, you know, get down the hallway to, you know, in your house.
Universal in the sense that it's adaptable to any situation.
Correct. Yes. And universal design means that you're designing now for the future. For example, when we're building out bathrooms and lavatories, we're putting in extra supports behind in the studs for possibly adding grab bars later, right? Mm-hmm. We put in the correct adjustable height countertops. We're putting in, as I said, door handles instead of door knobs. Get older, we get arthritis, and it's hard to turn a handle as opposed to leaning down on a lever. Moving, walking to your house, having a level, no step entry. For those of us getting older, the slips, trips, and falls are where people, you know, get hurt a lot, even on a working job site. So, universal design is an umbrella term for designing for the future, which leads me to the next part of your question about future proofing, and that effectively is future proofing. If we can make our houses more adaptable for us getting older, into our old age, instead of having to leave and go to a rest home. This is what it's all about. We enjoy living next to our neighbors and our friends and our families close that we've known for years. And future-proofing allows us to do that, which leads me then to aging in place, which obviously speaks for itself. Aging in place, you're spending a lot longer in your home and being able to age gracefully in your home.
And of course, it's cheaper on society, right? It's cheaper on society to keep people in their homes.
Absolutely. Now, which brings me to the passive income, and you mentioned the boomerang income plan and so forth. Well, being from down under, boomerangs are renowned for going away and coming back to you. Well, we coined this little program about two to three years ago, when we did some studies and found that, California is the number one area in the United States that has a massive housing shortage, massive affordable housing crisis. New York's the second. And then there are other places, around the country that have problems with affordable housing. And so we're looking at how do we generate passive income? Well, mom and dad, have been paying off the mortgage for the last 30 years in their house. The kids have grown up and left home. Now mom and dad are rattling around in this big three or four bedroom house. And it's paid off, or mostly paid off, presuming, right? And so they generally have, with the affordable housing crisis looming and everybody understanding you can build a granny flat or an accessory dwelling unit or a junior accessory dwelling unit in your bed, in your house, or in addition to your house, the different counties and regions are making it more affordable permit-wise for people to add on a structure into their home or inside their property. And so then if we use the universal design and the future-proofing aging in place, we can build an 80 Americans with Disability, ADA compliant, smaller home, up to 1,200 square feet, which is a comfortable 2 to 3 bedroom home, all with universal design, future-proofing, aging in place aspects to it. Mom and dad can effectively move into that, into a smaller space. And now the kids can come home who previously couldn't afford to buy anything or move, get a home, certainly within the city limits. They can move home with the kids. Now you've got that community, that family coming together again. Mom and dad have got the family close to them as they get older. And the kids have got grandparents there to look after the kids when they want to go out. I mean, it's like, and at the same time, there's some income coming in that stays in the family. Or if there's no family involved in that situation, mom and dad can rent out the big house and pull some income every month to add to their social security and their other retirement savings. So it's just a matter of how do we tap into that, all that equity that we spent, 20, 30 years paying off. And now that boomerang income means let's tap into that equity, build something else on the property, and generate some income, passive income.
That is really impressive. This is the time of the show that I have to construct a break. But just like a boomerang, we're going to come right back. I'm speaking with Greg Clavel, who is building a green future for us all. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
Trends in technology, processes, and products. We cover these areas and more on the cutting edge of cannabis. Be informed from the latest initiators of new innovation. Learn about the latest breakthroughs and best practices in the cannabis and hemp industries. Better products, better infrastructure, and better sustainability. The cutting edge of cannabis. Consulted by the American Cannabis Company.
Elevate your everyday with that Shuggies feeling, with the sweet taste of Shuggies. Add a cup of Shuggies to your morning coffee. Ah, how sweet it is. Shuggies infuses cannabis and cane sugar to make it the perfect sweetener with benefits. Make your happy hour happier with a dunk of Shuggies in your drink. Order your Shuggies now at shoggies.com or find it in dispensaries throughout California. Whenever you crave a little sweet, pick up Shuggies, the sweet, sweet take anywhere treat.
The cannabis industry is evolving at a radical pace, progressing toward the green peak. Each week, join Richard Zwicky, a cannabis visionary and entrepreneur, as he interviews experts from around the globe to discuss updates and evolutions in the world of cannabis. The Green Peak with Richard Zwicky.
We're back to Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio. Now, back to our headstrong hemperer of hemp, Vivian McPeak.
Back on Hemp Present with Greg Flaval. Greg, concrete is one of the most frequently used building materials. I have read that its usage worldwide, ton for ton, is reported to be twice that of steel, wood, plastics, and aluminum combined. A more environmentally sustainable and safer alternative to conventional concrete, which I think is gypsum and asphalt-based usually, correct me if I'm wrong, is a biocomposite material called hempcrete. What can you tell us about hempcrete? Why is it such an exciting new building material? And you've kind of touched on that, but if you could expand on that for us.
Well, Vivian, the use of gypsum and asphalt is not what we use to make hempcrete. And hempcrete probably is a bit of a misnomer, really. I mean, people understand, you know, concrete, so why not make hempcrete? But in reality, it's hemp and lime that will solidify over, you know, over generations and get harder and harder and petrify and turn to stone. The fact that we have a naturally occurring limestone all around the globe that is you know, brought up as a rock and then it's crushed and slaked and heated and so forth and so on, then we use that in a hydrated form with some pozzolans, some natural mineral pozzolans and a little bit of water to stick together. And with the lignin in the hemp cellulose that helps to bind it together, we now have a monolithic tamped, cast in place hempcrete or hemp lime, whichever one, you know, you feel comfortable with. Now, it's been around in Europe now for getting close to 30 years. They've been building, there are literally thousands of structures around the world now made with hemp and lime. So varying, you know, varying from small to large to even commercial applications. Marks and Spencer, for example, in England now mandated 2 years ago that all of their new retail stores, malls, would be made with hemp. The Royal Wine Society has a non-mechanical storage facility for 2 million bottles of wine. The exterior walls are hemp. The Museum for Antique Cars that they were having a problem with rust has now been mitigated by putting a fake interior wall of hemp and lime to absorb all that moisture and breathe it, because hemp and lime is like our skin around our body. It's a breathable unit. It's monolithic. There's no cold joints. It's cast in place and it's breathing. And we like to do it, you know, we like to cast it around 10 to 12 inches, maybe even thicker. We did a house for Ministry of Housing in Canada several years ago, and those walls are 18 inches thick, but then it gets to minus 50 in Winnipeg. So you want a bit more protection. The fact that this is sustainable, renewable, the yearly, and depending on how close we are to the equator, you know, maybe even more than one crop per year.
And it's carbon neutral, right?
Well, it's actually carbon negative, because by the time you take the carbon footprint of making the lime, which is a negative, and then you have the positive aspects of sequestration of CO2 in the field as you're growing for 100 to 120 days, now you're combining those together and putting them into a house structure, right, to build the walls of your breathable home. Well, over the next 10, 15 years, all that lime that you've used needs to turn itself back into being a rock, and it's going to keep sequestering and absorbing CO2. And as a result, it's going to get harder and harder and harder. So for every, let's say, in round figures, for 10 pounds of hydrated lime that you've used to make hempcrete, it will add it around 2.5 to 3 pounds of additional CO2 weight over the next 10 to 20 years. I mean, that's pretty fantastic. So not only have we built an average size home of around 1,500 to 2,000 feet, locked up 5 or 6 tons of CO2, we're also going to continue absorbing CO2, you know, for the next decade in that house. Plus, on top of that, Vivian, the inhabitants, the owners, are getting a health benefit that no one's really touched on or looking at. And we have seen, and we've anecdotally, mind you, we've seen up to two-thirds reduction in healthcare costs, absenteeism from work, and doctor's bills because of people are living in now an alkaline environment. So the lime, the hydrated lime that we're using is actually 8.5 pH. So if you can imagine, you're in your home and you're sleeping and you're building up your melatonin levels at nighttime when you're sleeping and you're watching TV and you're relaxing and so forth, you're exhaling. And all your exhaled breath is going back into the lime walls, right? Because the lime needs to sequester, needs to turn itself back into being a rock, and it naturally absorbs all that CO2, which accounts for the extra weight over the following decade plus. But that's a huge issue, and we haven't even touched on that.
That's fascinating. I've never heard of the health benefits. I've heard about all this other stuff. That's amazing.
Well, that's the hemp and the lime that's doing that. And the reason that we're using industrial hemp as opposed to marijuana hemp or CBD hemp that we see around the country right now is because when you magnify that cellulose, it really looks like a really wide open sponge. And that sponge is basically all the air pockets and air holes inside that cellulose that basically feels about the weight of balsa wood. And that's absorbing and moving a vapor through it while it's in a tortuous state, locked up with the lime cast around the structural frame of the house. And that's moving it's flattening out all the highs, lows of the temperatures. And it's the only cellulosic material that will give you a double benefit, and that is thermal mass and thermal conductivity all in one material. Thermal mass simply means that it's buffering, absorbing heat from the outside and then dissipating that throughout the low temperature period of the evening, right? And then obviously the conductivity is what's the insulation or the R value that we get from this material. And for every inch of hemp and lime cast together, we're at about 2.4 per inch. So if you can imagine, a 12-inch wall times 2.4, folks, is 28.8, so almost 30 R value. The code is only 19. So we're meeting and exceeding the R value code building homes with hemp, which is annually renewable, and we don't, it's a beautiful thing. What can I say?
That's amazing. What is the, we got about 2 minutes to the next break. What is the cost difference? Is there any reason that builders would resist switching to hempcrete or this hemp material?
It's more about education, Vivian. It's all about people understanding how this material is used and the benefits of it. But the upfront costs, yes, are a bit more expensive because we've got to bring this stuff across the Atlantic Ocean. Mm-hmm. And even though we can land it here cheaper than we can. I know, exactly. And that's what we're trying to fight against, right? That's where this revolution is happening as we speak.
So how much of a big deal is the federal legalization of industrial hemp that just happened? I don't know if we have the processing facilities yet or the yield, but that means there's a bold new future that we're looking at here, right?
There is, but we need more than the last 30 seconds in this segment to talk about it, which is a very, very poignant and important point that if your readers or listeners are interested in, we should definitely touch upon.
Okay, well, we have about a minute left, so if you could just
a minute into it. Then yes, we have we're processing right now in Europe at around 7 or 8 tons per hour. And many years ago, we did a research at Massey University in New Zealand and found that unless we're processing a minimum of 4 tons per hour, don't even bother turning the light switch on because you're never going to make any money. And that's what I'm finding with these smaller decorticator facilities around the country. They're not big enough to handle the volume that needs to go through this equipment and make it, financially viable for any investor to put their money into such a thing. Because to get, the proper equipment, you're talking $10, $12 million, right? A capital investment to build a proper working facility that will decorticate at that sort of rate. And that will support, and that in itself will support 5,000 to 8,000 acres of true industrial hemp.
That's
each
just
acre at around 4 to 5 tons of biomass, right? And we're not talking biomass for extraction for CBD oil. We're talking true fiber and cellulose for building, bedding, paper, plastics, you name it.
I am speaking to Greg Clavel. We're going to take another quick break, roach this segment, and come back with a fresh final questions for Greg Clavel. Don't go anywhere.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back. It's time to Hemp Present.
I am going to titillate your audio orifices with weekly radio rendezvous with some of the premier movers, shakers, and history makers of the cannabis community.
Radio resident Hempo Sapien Vivian McPeak.
I will be putting out a call to action on issues of the day and putting your interests under the big lights as I provide cannabis commentary and weekly interviews that go straight for the nugular.
Marijuana!
Hemp Present, only on Cannabis Radio.
Hey, take a look at this. They're selling smart pots.
They have pot that can make you smart? Where is it?
Not that kind of pot. Smart pots are the best aeration container to grow your plants. Check this out. This is the original fabric container for faster producing, healthier plants. They're made with a superior fabric that delivers high yields. Plus, smart pots are reusable and sustainable, so you can use them over and over again, no matter if you use them indoor or outdoor.
That's very smart, but how good are they for the environment?
Smart pots are BPA-free and lead-free, so you'll always be able to ensure a pure, clean grow, and they're 100% made in the U.S. Over 28 million smart pots have already been sold, so it seems like a smart investment.
Look for smart pots in close to 2,000 garden centers throughout North America and ask for the original fabric container. Find a store near you or order yours online at smartpots.com.
The cannabis industry is growing almost as fast as the cannabis and hemp being planted and harvested. Where, when, and how fast will the cannabis and hemp industries continue to climb? Who will be the people leading the charge into that promised land of profit? Let's pursue those answers and more with the Plant Profits.
Welcome to another episode of Plant Profits. I am Bert Miller, your host. As you guys know, the purpose of this show is to introduce you to some of the most forward-thinking executives and companies in the cannabis industry.
Plant Profits, only on CannabisRadio.com.
We're back to Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio. Now, back to our headstrong Hemperer of Hemp, Vivian McPeak.
And we're back on Hemp Present with Greg Flaval, who is building a greener future for us all. Greg, there's so much to cover. We've only scratched the surface. It's only a 30-minute show when we could probably talk for 30 hours about this subject. But while we still have a few minutes left, is there anything you'd like to add that hasn't been covered today? And also, how can people follow up and check out your work?
Well, by all means, we've been building and evolving our website for years. I mean, it's a very large website, hemptechglobal.com. And we've grown hemp and processed hemp and built with hemp in many, many different countries around the world over the last decade plus. And it's all about, you know, education and showing people the benefits of living in a house made of hemp, or even working in a building where their indoor air quality is so much better. The one of the things that I'd like to leave everybody with is the fact that, you know, what we have is proven. We're still doing R&D, we're still doing testing, and we're still doing specification testing, you know, in Canada and the US. But what we're finding is, in the Alberta provincial government, just as an aside, did a feasibility study on the structural blocks that are made with the hemp and found that it was worth close to $1 billion a year, Vivian, with 5,000 to 8,000 industrial hemp. Now, I know that there's a lot of people out there have gone upside down this year trying to grow, or like in the last season, trying to grow CBD hemp. The old legacy farmers are now knocking on my door saying, how can we make money with industrial hemp? And you know, last year was a shitty season for everybody with soybeans and corn and so forth and so on. The prices are down. and the farmers are $350 an acre they're taking home, right, which is hard to feed your families on that. Whereas with industrial hemp, true agricultural hemp, you know you're not going to make your $25,000 an acre growing CBD, but who knows where the price of CBD is going to be in another year. By the time it's the price of aspirin across the counter, you know, the farmers that are get involved in growing industrial hemp now will have a market for their material for bioplastics that we're doing, paper that we're doing, construction materials that we're doing, paper that we're doing, all with industrial hemp. And, you know, we do cartwheels in Europe if we get 2% CBD out of the top of our plant. Here, we're pushing the envelope at 20%, but it's not a viable product. So we need to be getting to true industrial / agricultural hemp. And this country will be much, much better for it. As one of our bylines, food, fuel, shelter, jobs, maybe even world peace.
Greg Flaval, I just want to thank you so much for all of your information, the great work that you're doing. You're like an encyclopedia of information about industrial hemp. And it's just a pleasure to know you, and thank you for being on the show. And maybe we'll bring you back so we can explore this important topic more.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Hempy trails to you, my friend. Now I'm going to get to a weekly feature, Hemp Present on CannabisRadar.com. That's the quote of the week, and here it is. Growing hemp as nature designed it is vital to our urgent need to reduce greenhouse gases and ensure the survival of our planet. And those are the words of my good friend, the late Jack Herer, who really was America's industrial hemp visionary. That concludes this installment of Hemp Present on Cannabis Radio. I want to thank Brasco, my man in the control room, and all the Cannabis Radio sponsors and advertisers. Join me next week for some more reefer repartee and cannabis confabulation with some special hempo sapien on a journey to justice as we silence the violence, increase the peace, and promote unity in the cannabis community with impunity. Because when it comes to prohibition, you have the right not to remain silent. Activism requires a voice. Find your voice and speak up for justice, because resistance is fertile. Till then, my friends, stay strong, stand tall, toke it easy. The Hemp Present theme song, Take Back the Plants, performed by Sticker Bush and Sunday, a much younger version of myself. Turn up the music, maestro. I'm out. Marijuana.
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without proper consent of CannabisRadio.com is prohibited.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.